One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Audio Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, Eddie Fiend coming out. You stick that big red light bulb on for a Fiend.
And his partner, Feta Tapendo Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'm going to take the bump for you.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name's Rab Florence. I am joined, as ever, by my wonderful fellow host on this show, Grado. How you doing, Grado?
I got 50 Bentleys in the West Indies.
What's the point in that? How are you going to drive them if they're all there?
It doesn't matter.
But how would you drive them, Grado? Like, and why would you need 50 of them?
That's Wycliffe John. It's his song.
I just don't get that one. I'm sorry.
And you're not being choked to say that all day?
What have you been up to this week?
I don't know what have I been up to? Put me in the spot here. What have I been up to?
You must have been up to something.
By the way, I just want to say thanks for the messages for last week's episode. I really got quite a lot of them, just saying thank you for speaking about the situations and such likes, and I really got quite a good kind of feedback for that.
Did you?
And I've not replied to it. Did you know nothing?
I didn't get any replies at all for anybody.
That's bizarre, mate. I must at least go to 16. It was a lot of positive feedback, a lot of messages and stuff like that, telling us thanks and stuff like that. But they didn't need thanks, what they talk about it. There was no way we were going to avoid it. But thank you to everybody that reached out.
And I'm sure there were probably a lot of people privately who didn't get in touch who thought we were a couple of assholes as well.
Well,
that's every week though, isn't it? That's every week, to be fair. Let's see what the punters have been saying, what they've been up to. Thanks to Pablo, who sent us a clip from Neil Buchanan on Art Attack back in the day, drawing Max Moon. See, that isn't quite WCW and Baywatch, but it certainly comes close. That's mad. There is, and here there is, there's a clip of Neil Buchanan using Max Moon for an Art Attack. How weird is that? Claymore Chick says, has anybody else noticed that Grado's laugh sounds a bit like the Pillsbury Doughboy?
Who the fuck's that?
Play it, John. Play the clip.
That sounds like me, by the way.
Play it again. I've turned that to him. It's catching. It's like coronavirus. Fucking Doughboy. Doughboy virus. Too soon. Andy Muirhead says, I know Rab loves a pun. That's not true, actually. I don't like a pun. John loves
a
pun.
I hate puns.
Listen, I am a highly respected comedy writer. I don't love a pun. Seeing as summer is here, what about some wrestling-themed ice cream puns? Jesus. I'm sure your listeners can come up with some belters. I've thought of Dixie Cart Dior or Jim Cornetto's. Jim Cornetto and Screwballs Mahoney. So we put this out there and the listeners didn't disappoint, right? We spread it out to the rest of the listeners. David Pallet, Wooden Pallets here.
Wooden Pallet.
Says Fabulous Muller. Surely goes in there. The Fab Ice Lolly.
Love it.
Kurt Cooper got in touch with Brock Lesnar, the Feast Incarnate. Hagen Draws. And Knickerbocker Dory Funk.
I must admit, I've not got the last two.
Percy, you didn't get Knickerbocker Dory Funk?
No, but
Knickerbocker Glory?
Oh, is that what they call him? Oh, Knickerbocker Dory. Right, all right, I get it.
Percy Sledgehammer says, the walls of Ben and Jericho. Play the Pillsbury Doughboy again. That's what we're needing here. For a few weeks ago... A few weeks ago, we've got a couple male TV characters who would have been great wrestling characters. Alex GW says to me that Big Des Murphy would be a good character. No, he wouldn't. Don't tell me what to do with my own characters, right? Just used to wind your neck in.
What was Des Murphy again?
Big Des Murphy was just, he was a guy who says, I'll be it all the time. So it's only like one sketch or something. Jimmer says, Saul Goodman for Breaking Bad would be a fantastic manager, weaseling his clients into title matches, not a trouble. Good point.
What a bad shout.
Graham Orr says, Lenny Murdoch for River City as a manager for his two boys. Darbo says, an A-team stable. Colin says, Wolf and Shadow for Gladiators would have been great. Jet as manager.
Hey, wait there. I'm sure Wolf did actually have a match back in the 90s.
Really?
I'm sure he did. I don't know if it was for Hammerlock or somebody, or if it was for Brian Dixon, but I'm pretty sure that Wolf for Gladiators did have a couple of bouts somewhere. I mean, because it makes sense, doesn't it?
He was over, wasn't he?
It's funny because we were talking about the world of sport hanging all that.
Mm-hmm.
Folk were, I was going back in my timeline because it was out a couple of years ago, and folk were moaning because it was too much like the Gladiators. But CITV, that's what they wanted. That's what they wanted, Gladiators.
Aye.
And Wolf would have been brilliant to come on that. Do you know how that would have been good? Or the lights go out and Wolf comes back.
It was a massive show, Gladiators, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
Gladiators, ready.
You will go on my first whistle.
Yep.
You will go on my second whistle.
Great stuff. Have you watched Flora's Lava on Netflix?
Is that like the kind of Takeshi's Castle type of deal?
Aye. They need to jump across the lava.
I've only seen it advertised. Is it any good?
Good fun.
Did I tell you I'm on The Rock's show?
What?
Now, have you seen the Rock's show?
Titan Games.
I'm in that.
How are you in it?
Well, Robbie E was in an episode, right? Uh-huh. And for his build-up video, right, it was, I'd say 0.33 to a second, you see my back. I know, mate, it's pretty good. You know, I'm trying to get it added to my IMDb.
That's amazing, mate.
I've been on The Rock show, so.
You are basically The Rock's pal now.
That's what I was thinking, you know what I mean? I don't need to get one of these people that, all of these British wrestlers these days always try to tag The Rock in something and they get a reply. And I always get a bit of a cringer when I see it, to be honest with you. Don't get me wrong, I've done it myself when I get dinged, but...
Yeah. But you're like the Scottish Rock, aren't you? So it's like, you need to be...
I've always said that, you know what I mean? We're very, very similar. We've both went on to have some TV career. I mean, I was also in a shot at Glory.
Aye.
I was in a crowd for that.
Yeah, I don't doubt that you've got a film career ahead of you as well.
Correct.
That's the next step, right?
So, have you ever seen a shot at Glory?
Of course I've seen a shot at Glory, mate. We're doing a podcast about wrestling now, right? I could do a podcast just about a shot at Glory, just to watch it every week and talk about it every week, because that's one of the funniest films ever made.
But are you kidding me on?
I'm not kidding you on. See, when people say to me...
What does Alan McCoy...
all the time, when people say to me, who's your favourite Celtic player? I say Jackie McQuillan. Every time.
Right, well, let me answer this then, right? Ask me this. See when Alan McCoy pulls up to Robert Duvall in his motor, what does he say to Robert Duvall?
Oh, God. I can remember an old woman say something you crazy bastard or something like that to him, or you're a fucking idiot or something like that. But what
Jackie McQuillan pulls up to Robert Duvall, who's walking in the middle of nowhere, right? It looks as if he's been walking for miles. And Jackie McQuillan, Alan McCoy pulls up and goes, what does he say? Do you like this new invention, Gordon? It's called a car.
Let me tell you something. Alan McCoy's really good in that film.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Alan McCoy is really good in that film.
And the lassie who plays his wife, I work with a sister in the fire brigade.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Small world.
It is a small world.
And let's not forget something, right?
What?
The owner of the club is fucking Batman.
That's right.
Michael Keaton is the owner of that club. He's fucking Batman.
I like to call him Jack Frost.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to quickly do Robert De Waal's accent. That's his accent. Beautiful stuff. That was great. I love that wee chat about Shot of Glory. Check it out, everybody. If you've not seen the Shot of Glory, if you're Scottish and you haven't seen the Shot of Glory, then I don't know what to say to you, because it's just, it's like one of the weirdest things you'll ever watch.
It's brilliant. It's always on ITV2, just a heads up. All right, or three or four.
Joe Hurst says that he always thought the entire Star Wars saga was perfect for wrestling fair. Gifted prodigy gets carried away by success and becomes a monster heel, hoards the title for 30 years, then gets displaced by his baby-faced son and finally turns face himself as he goes out by taking down the evil owner. Never thought about that. Aided by mid-card storylines like Han Solo's working-class hero gimmick and the Stormtroopers, the faction that added too many members and never got over like it should have done. So he'd pay good money to see a spin-off with Empire Hollywood and Empire Wolfpack. And to be fair, if we give Disney time, they'll probably bloody make it. You know what I mean? He also says Rab will probably appreciate this one more than Grado, who doesn't like all this stuff. And he's absolutely correct.
I'm so glad to say this. Joe, thank you very much. I mean, I'll talk about A Shot at Glory, a fucking ITV2 film, any day. Star Wars, whoosh, right on my head. I tried to watch the first one on Disney Plus when I got it a couple of weeks ago. Lasted about 9 minutes. It's just not for me. I'm not going to bury it, but it's just not for me. Fair play to everybody that's into all that. And it's a good wee hobby to have, but man, it's just fucking...
Patronising bastard. It's a good wee hobby to have. So is wrestling, mate. Wrestling's also a good wee hobby to have. Well done. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that, or just some random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, or just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling, the Andre the Giants for the Giant Gonzalez's. What is a plural of Giant Gonzalez, by the way? Giant Gonzalez.
Well, you giant, need to put, do you know, need to put one of the commas on the Z?
Giant Gonzalez. Gonzalez. Giant Gonzalez.
You've got to mess about with the fuck knows.
What are you burying and what are you putting here? Grado. I know what I'm putting here. Can I go first? Because I know what it is.
Aye, of course. I forgot we'd done this. This
on Raw this week.
Yep, on you go.
There was a segment with the champions on Raw this week, right? And Big Drew was still in the ring, right? And Ziggler jumped up on the apron. I don't know if you've seen this.
No, of course
not. To kind of get in and interfere again, right? And Drew just turns around and just goes like that. Boof! One punch right in the dish. And Ziggler sells it like... Ziggler goes flying. It's dynamite. You should... I wish it was a way to show you, because it's just so good, man. I'll say something like... Drew looks like a proper champion, man. He looks like a champion. You know what I mean? And that wee moment,
I think
like
it's
that,
mental that he's been a champion for a wee while now, and he's no been a champion in front of a crowd yet.
I know, it's mad. He's mad. But I do think he seems to be quite a popular champion. This is the thing I seem to be noticing online and stuff like that, with responses to him and stuff, that he seems to be a popular choice as a champion, you know what I mean? Which has been a while since the WWE have had that. But that moment I wanted to put over, that was just fantastic. That is how you book a champion, a big baby face champion like that. That moment where the heel gets up and is going to get in his face again, and he's dealing with Sasha Banks when it's happening, you know what I mean? So he's dealing with something else, and Ziggler just gets up beside him and he just turns around and goes, boof, knocks him out. Aye. And then goes back to Sasha. Beautiful. It's a beautiful moment.
1-2 jab.
Well, I know it will have been a worked punch. It won't have been a real punch, you know what I mean? It'll have been fake. Wrestling's fake.
Yeah, you boy. I just looked up, I typed in cagematch.d and looked up myself. And I was just looking at, I typed in TNA and typed, and I wanted to look at all the matches that I'd done on TNA. It's a bloody lie off of that, man. I've done more than that. I said I've only done about 20 odd matches. I'm sure I've done about 1,600 matches for TNA. And I wrestled Drew once, and it says it was only 4 minutes and 3 seconds. It wasn't that. I'd say it was about 8.
4 minutes and 8 seconds?
It said it was only 4 minutes long, but I remember it being 8.
8 minutes? Right, okay, I see what you're saying. Oh, cheer up. You look dead sad.
I know, it's got me done, mate, you know.
Play the Pillsbury Doughboy again, John, just to cheer him up. Just to remind him what his laughter sounds like. Right, anyway, let's see what the punters are talking about. Because Grado was really just attempting to put his cellar again there, wasn't he? Let's be honest. Greg Clark...
By the way, I just wanted to... Just hold on a minute. If anybody's listening to this show, tweet the Blue Meanie and tell him to answer his DMs.
We tried to get the Blue Meanie on the show for an interview, and he wouldn't reply to Grado's DMs, which is just rude. Good on you, Brad Shaw, man. for stiffing him a belter. No replying to my pal's DMs.
And usually, when MD dies and that, he's usually the first one to DM me and saying, sorry for your loss.
He DMs you when people die?
Aye, and all right, look. Because obviously my mom died in December 2018. Then my ex's grand died and I had to pull out a show because of the funeral.
Right.
Both times he said, sorry for your loss, man. But I didn't reply to him. So maybe that's him getting his own back.
Mate, I have to say, you're sometimes quite bad for replying to people.
Aye.
You've always been good with me, to be fair, but I've heard other people say, talking about John mainly, that you don't reply. You know what I mean?
I'm terrible for it.
You're busy though. You're a busy guy. Right.
But I haven't ever let you down, but anyway.
No. Greg Clark says, he wants to put our last week's show. Couldn't have been easy for you guys, indeed.
Thanks, Greg.
Alistair, he wants to bury the state of WWE's recordings. A mess from top to bottom. Drew seems to be the only person who has any clue what's going on. And he wants to put over Impact, making the right talent cuts and the right talent hires. And Grado for last week's episode. Must have been brutal to record. Hero. Sure, he's also meaning me. Right. Hazy wants to bury WWE and their handling of the COVID outbreak. It's really hard to support wrestling when the biggest company are a shambles and just pure carny. Of course, that's something we need to talk about. The WWE had their big coronavirus outbreak among the roster. We don't really know exactly who has it yet, Davey. We know that Renee Young has it. Am I right?
Yeah.
Renee Young got it, and apparently she got heat for talking about it on Twitter.
Yeah. Jamie Woodson's got it as well.
Who?
Jamie Noble. Kayle, who does the backstage stuff, she's had it twice now.
I thought you kind of get it twice.
Well, she's had it twice. Two times.
Now, you're talking about Jamie Noble, who sits at a desk with Vince McMahon when the matches are on.
Yeah.
I mean, if Vince McMahon is going to get anything right, and I'm not saying he is or he has, but he's 70-odd year old. And would you... Do you think that Vince in the WWE would ever announce that he's actually got it? They would never do that, would they?
No. Vince would never allow anybody to find out, even his own family, that he had coronavirus. It's just not the kind of thing he does. He would just go away into a room, a cell, and just kind of just tense himself up until the coronavirus turned into a wee bond and he just spit it out. He just spit it out the window. And then come back to work. Straight back to work. Hazy wants to put over Sasha Banks, however, winning in the main event of all three shows. She's doing great, and both her and Bailey are great to watch. Sasha and Bailey, I think, are really carrying a lot of this, don't know, you know what I mean? It's good to see Sasha getting the proper kind of push that she's always should have been getting before she left NXT. And Bailey is I think Bailey is an absolute revelation as a heel.
She's still heel, really right?
Oh, man. And you know what? Here's what I loved about Bailey, right? I wasn't into it. Obviously, Bailey's gimmick, the babyface gimmick, was kind of more for the kids, right? It was a for the kids kind of gimmick. And so when she turned heel, I was like, man, I don't know if this is a good idea turning her heel.
You weren't the only one. I think everybody said it on the internet, didn't they?
Aye. But she did this really smart thing. She kind of got turned heel when she went, I'm not going to date anything for months. Like, what I mean by that is she would just walk slowly out, kind of torn-faced, serious, didn't play to the crowd, went through her matches, won her matches, would walk back out again just with a kind of smirk. She did this thing where she just completely downplayed everything, so there was nothing. You know, sometimes people turn heel and then they try and act really kind of cool heely, and then because of doing that, they don't properly flip to heel because fans like them. Bailey did that. Bailey just kind of committed totally to being this kind of stony-faced heel for months and months and months, and now she's completely legit. You know what I mean? She seems completely legit as a heel.
Is she the number one heel?
I mean, there's a question. Is she the number one heel? I mean, who? I suppose, I mean, do we still view Lesnar? Lesnar's a heel, right? He's the number one heel, right?
Aye.
Probably. Overall. But Bailey's got to be up there because they have a bit of a heel situation, didn't they? In the WWE.
Nia Jax, is she?
She's still heel, but she doesn't have the same... She's still, I think, because all this stuff hangs about with her, you know what I mean, about the injuries and stuff like that, she doesn't quite have the same heel appeal, really, you know what I mean? Like kind of another story going on with her. Anyway, thanks for that, Hazy. That was got a good bit of chat going there. Neil wants to bury Loki for being a COVID-denying toolbox.
And also, as we go into recording, also Austin Aries is practically posted something similar.
Well, Austin Aries is saying, I'm not wearing a mask. He's saying, aye, you know what I mean?
And he's basically, but Austin Aries' take on it is, you know, yous are all fat fucks. You know, yous are all unhealthy folk anyway. Why should I start wearing a mask?
I know, but then he's just a dick, isn't he? I mean, he's just a dick. He's shown himself to be a dick there. Million Dollar Bam wants to put over the boy that saved Kurt Angle's.
Well, hold on a minute. What do you think about Loki not wanting the mask stuff? Come on.
What do you think about it?
I mean, well, is it not just... He's calling us ignorant.
I know. I mean, there's no point. You can't argue with these people.
Nah, that's the truth, isn't
it? You can't change their mind. You can't argue with them. You just listen. Everybody knew that Loki wasn't the sharpest tool in the box anyway, man. You know what I mean? It's like, this isn't a surprise. He's the least surprising guy to come out with this stuff, Loki. The least surprising
guy. Think so? I mean, I know he's a ball bag, but I thought he was intelligent.
Nah.
But, I mean, I should have made a lot of money that day where I got, you know, offered $20 each half of it. In fact, it's $50 each to punch him. I should have done it.
How many people was it that were going to
Everybody done it. Everybody said we'll put... I'm sure it's $50. If you do it, we'll up give $50 each.
Right. How so many people was this?
I'd say about 9 or 10. So what am I making there? I'm going to make about
$500. $500.
Yep.
Like, what is that? Like, 400?
Which was probably my... At that time, was probably my bonus for wrestling. You got your... Because you got your contracted wage a month, which, by the way, half the time never came. But I didn't bother. I was like... Ken Anders used to go, you've been paid yet? And I'd go, nah, but it's all right.
Did you play that sound sample again there, John?
I know, I can. He says, you've been paid yet? And I'd go, it's fine, don't worry about it. Don't worry, man, it's cool. They're flying over here, don't worry. You're in peace. Glad you're daft, man.
But was Kurt Angle looking out for you on that front? Was he like...
Oh, Kurt Angle, Ken Anderson, Bramo, they kind of people, they were always like, you need to get paid, man. I was like... They were like, when did you start? I was like, February. And this was maybe like July and all that. When was the last time you were paid? And I was like, February.
Jesus. Oh, that's good to hear the words.
Do you know, I remember one time they went and sent me a check, right? Did I tell you this? I tell you this before. They sent me a check and they wrote it out. They drew the lines and all that. They drew it. And I was like, this can't be acceptable, is it? And I went to the bank and the woman went...
You mean they drew it? Hold on.
They fucking drew the check. They drew it.
Like they drew a picture of a check.
They drew it. They fucking, or the wee numbers doing the bottom and all that. And I was like, that must be, I mean, they can't have sent me a dodgy check. I took it to fucking the Bank of Scotland and Selkirk's, and the lassie just looked at me like, you fucking having a laugh? What's that? But she's like, what's this? It's like, it's my work. And she's like,
it's a drawing of a check.
I mean, ever since then, like, I've heard, like, because obviously I've heard stuff in the past about, like, TNA sending, like, people were like, we need to get paid. So what they would do is they go, right, we'll FedEx it to you tomorrow. And they would stamp it and send it the next day. And they would just send an empty envelope.
God.
That's how fucking bad it got. But never, I mean, I think that's worse, isn't it? Going out your way to fucking...
They draw a check?
They draw
that's
a check.
Amazing. That's like...
I wish I still had it. I'm sure I might. I'm going to try and look for it.
If you're writing a book about the story of TNA and all of that, then that should
that
be the cover.
Be,
the cover should be a fucking check drawn. A picture of a check drawn.
Nobody else has ever spoke about that. I'm thinking, I've definitely been the one that went, fucking just draw one for him. Yeah. He's like, yes, I should get paid.
That's so funny, man.
Jeez, oh, right, beautiful. Right, David Pallett wants to bury that he thought
David
Cody
Pallett's was, already been on a day. What's happening here?
Wooden Pallett's went, that he thought Cody was defending a TNT title each week. Lasted only 3 weeks, as far as I can tell. Just ditched it. He wants to put over the second season of Dark Side of the Ring. Some characters for wrestler I've never even heard of. For example, Herb Abrams. Excellent series. I didn't know there was a second season.
You did, because I spoke about it for the last couple of weeks ago. You seen Dark Side of the Ring, and you go, no.
Ah, but I thought it was just one series.
No. The first series was out maybe about a year and a half ago, when that was all the kind of Macho Man stuff, the Montreal Screwjob, the Fabulous Moolahs. But the second series just kept knocked it right out of the park. I didn't know who Herb Abrams was, did you?
No, are they scraping the barrel now?
I mean, New Jack's on it. He's done an episode on him, but that is a really dark side of the ring, innit?
I saw the episode, I only seen one episode, and it was the episode about Bingo Balance. It was a word about, you know, the whole thing with Bingo Balance and Crusher Crabe and all that.
Aye, man, the what do you call it? The fucking Stonehaven Screwjob.
I'm so sorry. Right, big man Andy wants to bury everybody. He wants to put on anybody. What a shite week. Bronchello says, first I want to put her TNA, teasing these former stars has piqued my interest. Looking forward to Slammiversary. I also want to put her Robin Grado for last week's show. And he wants to bury Kevin Dunn for refusing to let the WWE talent in the crowd wearing masks.
What was that about?
Fuck that roster. They should be wearing masks. This is going to change, though. I think in America, I think over the next week or two, you're going to see a change in America, and you're going to see the story in America change to, like, we're all wearing masks. So this is going to be interesting. I think it's almost going to be starting to get viewed in America almost as an irresponsible thing and a negative thing if you're no kind of pushing the mask agenda. That's my prediction over the next couple of weeks. So it might be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if the WWE, and I thought they should have done this ages ago, they should take this opportunity and put cool masks on everybody. That would be amazing to watch. Mask everybody up. Wrestling's perfect for masks. Get everybody in masks.
But Rob, they're all the loonies out there, they're all, did you see that bit, was it Congress, you cry it? And they're all going up, getting their excuses, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Jesus gave us a mouth to breathe and all that shite. This is our breath. You can't take our breath.
The problem is that America is so funded, freedom is so fundamental to what Americans believe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, for a country that has such a history as slavery and stuff like that, and you getting other people in chains, but the freedom is just so core to what they believe that any kind of infringement on their freedom is immediately a kind of a big topic. Let's not get too heavy. Let's instead, Grado, ask the punters for some money.
Have you watched everything on Netflix and Amazon Prime? Well, right now, get more content from Wrestling Daft to keep you entertained during the lockdown by signing up to Patreon. Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Let me tell you a bit about it. We have set up three tiers which you can choose to get involved with at Patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. It's a community. It's a community for all you Wrestling Daft punters out there, and you can sign up to either one of the three tiers. If you sign up to tier one, you're a cruiserweight champion, which is $4 a month, and on that you get a patron-only chat community, you get ad-free versions of all the episodes, you get early access, you get random bonus content, and you get the video version of the March podcast. You can also vote on what you want to see on the list of Wrestling Daft. Now, if you decide you want to spend a tenner, $10 a month, you can get that by signing up as the Intercontinental Champion. With that, you get everything that you signed up for in Tier 1, as well as a video version of the podcast each week, a bonus episode once a month, and up there right now, you can hear the March report card on a year of AEW and Chapter 1 of the Grado story, It's Yourself. Is that up, John?
It is up.
It is now up for all you Patreons out there. You can hear me talk for, how long did I talk for?
An hour and a bit.
So you can sign up to that. That's Intercontinental Champion. You can also join our Patreon pay-per-view parties. Tier 3, you're the World Heavyweight Champion, which is about $20 a month. Everything in the previous tiers is included, as well as a free Wrestling Daft shirt design of your choice. But you must sign up to a minimum of 3 months. Plus, you get to feature on one of our shows as one of our marks. So, if you fancy that and becoming one of our patrons, we'll also give you a shout out on the show. Sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, as we would love to welcome you to the roster.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just made the list!
Every week we ask for you guys to vote in a list of Wrestling Daft. Remember, you can vote too by signing up for $4 a month at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. This week it was Undertaker's Greatest Matches or Best Stables in Wrestling, and with 56% of the vote, it was the Best Stables that won it! Yay! Have we not done this before?
I feel as if we have. Because
have we not done this before?
I thought we had as well, but then I went back and checked the previous episodes, and I don't think we have. I think we've maybe done something similar to it, but we've not actually done this.
What could it be similar?
I don't know, but I went and checked. I double-checked. I'm pretty sure we haven't done it.
Right, because I feel as if I spoke about Sports Entertainment Extreme.
Aye, and I feel that Rab spoke about Right to Censor as well, but I don't think
we've... Well, if you've checked, then we haven't, so yeah. Let's, you know what I mean?
So let's just do it.
Let's just date, mate. What are we moaning about?
Listen, let's just date.
Let's just fucking, you know what I mean?
Number three is Right to Censor.
It is our honor to introduce to you the Good Father.
The Good Father? The what? What is he talking about?
What, the Good Father? Got him. Oh, no. Wait a minute. What is this?
No,
we've
the reason,
definitely done this before, man. I remember you said.
No, the reason why I've chosen Right to Censor is, as I've spoken about them before on the show so many times. Grado's spoken about them so many times as well. In fact, that's just even enhanced it in my mind, is the fact that Grado is always bringing it up as well. Mm-hmm. They were a proper heel faction who worked 100%. There was nobody in the audience who cheered Right to Censor when they came out, because they were always spoiling the fun. They were always spoiling the fun, and they looked great. They had a great look. They worked the gimmick really well. You know what I mean? And also, on Right to Censor, there was some legitimate individuals in that stable, I know. You know what I mean?
Aye. I mean, the biggest memory I've got for them is you've been a wee guy, Friday night, man, with a packet of crisps or whatever. The van usually came round at the time Raw started. They would maybe the third or fourth match. Somebody's about to go through a table, man, and boofed. You know what I mean?
Amazing people raging in the audience. People,
I mean, with the Godfather turned, it was me. But you know what? Because I've got a wee bit of OCD, do you know what thing that really kind of bothered me? Was that Stevie Richards wore black boots, or actually, he wore black shoes because he was Stevie White Sox. The Godfather wore black boots, Bill Buchanan wore black boots, but Val Venus would not fork out $200 for a pair of fucking black boots. He still wore his white ones. And that gave me mega OCD.
Shocking.
Money's own, man. I bet his gear stank. I bet he's one of these wrestlers that goes about fucking 60 days without washing his trunks. I bet he smelt like shite.
We need to get a shout out to Ivory here as well, because she was
fantastic
in that. And she was
black shoes too and black tights.
Yeah, she was legit as well, man. She was like good in the ring.
She was great, man. But Ivory was amazing, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She was going all, was, you know.
I remember at that time, you know what I mean, when she was in the ring, she was very often the best woman in the ring. You know what I mean? When the women's matches were happening back then. So that's my number three. At number two, it is, anybody want to guess?
DX.
No, it's no DX.
Is it the Radicals?
It's no the Radicals, no.
Is it Nexus?
Keep going. You're going to get it eventually.
New Age Click.
I'm sorry, it is the Hustle Monster Army.
Makai no Otoshigo, Monster Bono. Great Omuta to Indian Sama to you, Saikyo Idensho Oketsugu Monster. Wazuka.
Led by General Takada.
Aye. I was going to say that next, mate.
It was Takada's Monster Army. where you had like celebrity Ogawa and you had Kawada.
Is that Ogawa and Ogawa that I seen in Carl Luke? Was he in Noah as well?
Aye.
God, that was mental when I seen him. When I seen him in Carl Luke, did you? Why did you not go? Seriously, why did you not? Why did you not go to that show?
I couldn't have known about it. I wouldn't have known about it,
mate. I can't believe you didn't know about that.
Mate,
show.
I wasn't on UK fan forum as much as you was back in the day.
Aye, but come on, Masato tonight. No, Masato.
Here, hold on. Mate, hold on. Stop a minute. Right, stop a minute. Right, because cool. I want to talk about something here. You used to be a regular on UK Fan Forum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be quite often would visit UK Fan Forum as well. I used to hang about there. They have never mentioned this podcast on that forum.
And do you know what? Actually, do you know
it's just disgraceful.
It's funny you mention this, right? Because I went on a UKFF for the first time easily in about 5 years last week. And I went into a thread and I went, surely they're going to talk about our podcast. Not one mention.
Nobody mentioned it.
Who the
UK Fan Forum?
You know what I mean?
I think that's shocking, mate.
Are we hated or something?
I think that's shocking that they wouldn't mention it. You know what I mean? Terrible.
Okay, boys, I'll get on the case next week. We'll make sure they're mentioning it.
Aye.
And we're the only show that talk about them. We've talked about them quite positively in the past as well, UKFF.
I mean, I joined the UKFF in April the 6th, 2002.
I mean, there you go. But essentially, is their home forum podcast,
I grew up in the bugger.
Did you organise any tape trading using UK Fan
Forum? Tape trading, I ordered a bus trip to GWF in Blackburn in February 2003. I took a squad, my father drove a bus down to a show in Blackburn at John Farrer. That was the show where the ring never turned up. There was the backseat boys were there, Jake Roberts, Ted Robin, the comedian, he was the ring announcer, and I got locked in with him. A wee while, which the weirdest thing ever, I ended up was he was on Endeavour with me, and I was like, mate, you'll never believe this, but I was looked at it and he remembered me for 2003.
I just think it's disgraceful, UK Fan Forum. Anyway, I'm always bigging up Hustle on this show. Like I said, I'm increasingly now I'm starting to dream of, oh, it would be nice to just promote some shows in the style of Hustle. But I love the Monster Army. The Monster Army were the big heel organisation in Hustle, and Hustle really was. Hustle was a promotion that was based around essentially two big factions to an extent. There was the Hustle Army, and then there was the Monster Army, and they would go at it with each other, you know what I mean? You would have Monster C and all that, Steve Carino and all that kind of stuff. It was great, man. It was just great.
I need to check that out, but can I just mention one thing about that bus trip in 2003? Obviously, I sat up the front because my father was driving the bus, right? But there was one guy in the back, right, and he was stopped off at a service station, I'd say maybe just about 20 miles outside Glasgow. And I'd say this was maybe about two hours later, right, we're having stopped. And I remember turning around, and the guy I was, remember this is a busload of wrestling fans, and I turned around, right, and the guy I was talking to had a big leather jacket on. And when I was talking to him, he went into his jacket pocket, and he pulled out a burger, a cheeseburger, and just started eating it. As if it was like a fucking humbugger or something like that last week. He was just talking away to him, man. He bought a cheeseburger.
It's a beautiful thing to do that, though. Like, see a McDonald's cheeseburger, for example.
Aye.
I find that they travel quite well. Like,
they
travel well. And me and my daughter Hope, if we would go to the Pictures, by the way, the best cinema, you know, I know this is what I was gain free advertising right here, right? But the best cinema in Scotland, as far as I'm concerned, is the Empire in Clydebank, right? It's the best cinema in Scotland. And when go there, just because it's just a great cinema, and they do perfect popcorn with the real butter poured into it.
That sounds amazing, mate.
They put popcorn in and they pour real butter on top, and then more popcorn and then more butter, and they do it in layers, and you can have a drink and all that. They sell beer and all that kind of stuff. It's brilliant.
I tell you what, the most weird thing about that whole conversation is the guy that had the burger was fake Clydebank.
Well, there you go. But what I was going to say was, beside the Empire Clydebank, there's a McDonald's right next door. So you go in there, get the poke before the film, get the pockets loaded up. Me and Hope would get the pockets loaded up with cheeseburgers, and we go, you're laughing.
Maybe it's a Clydebank thing.
Your cheeseburger during the film. Okay, so, and my number one is
NWO.
Well, the first thing you gotta realize, brother, is this right here
is the future of wrestling. You can call this the new world order of wrestling, brother.
Of course. It's got to be NWO. Oh,
for life, for life.
I used to always think to myself, is NWO maybe at any point going to get less cool? You know what I mean? Is it going to be like we're all going to go, oh, bloody NWO? I kind of feel like the problem that DX has is that DX were kind of cool at the time, but as time went by and Triple H and Shawn Michaels did it again and stuff like that, and you know, and then as you get older yourself and you kind of look back, and you kind of feel like DX wasn't as cool. There was something unbelievably cool about that original NWO with Hogan, fresh heel, with big Kevin Nash here, with Scott Hall there.
Dennis Rodman.
Oh, and Rodman coming in, you know what I mean? So exciting watching that, The Last Dance documentary about Michael Jordan and seeing that whole segment. You know what I mean? Where Dennis Rodman is like, well, I'm going to go away for a wee bit and goes and ends up, he's out there fucking NWO, we spray painting all that. Brilliant. You know what I mean? Aye. Living the dream. You know what I mean? Living the dream. But that's how cool they were. That's how cool NWO were, that Dennis Rodman would take time out for a championship run with the Chicago Bulls to go to WCW to come out with NWO. You know what I mean?
Did you get a buzz off that when you seen like the wee clip? I love that shit when that happened.
Because I had no idea. Like, see, at the time, I remember when Rodman was in WCW at the time, and for some reason in my head, I kind of thought to myself, oh, well, the basketball season must be done. Or it must be. No, in a million years did I think that you'd be fucking off during the season or leaving the training camp to go and, you know, it's mental. It's crazy.
I mean, could you imagine, like, if like, Alfredo Morelos, you know, in the running, ended up fucking showing up at WrestleZone and tagging with Bingo Ballads?
Beautiful. Anyway, NWO, and then there was the NWO Wolfpack, of course, and that was its own thing. That was when things started to go astray. The minute Conan gets involved in stuff.
Hey, Conan's brand new. He at least replies on our WhatsApps.
Fair enough. Well, that tells you something right there, doesn't it? Right. So. Let's see.
In fact, did they actually reply once on this show?
Aye, that's right. Live.
Fuck them then.
Let's see who. We should do that as a game sometime again, because that was a good fun game where we choose a person and see if they reply during the show. Right.
We'll do that next week, right?
What were your top three stables of all time then, Grado?
I would go for number three, I would go for Sports Entertainment Extreme. For TNA, because I loved that, because that was just at the height of my tape trade and stuff like that. With Vince Russo.
S-E-X
Sex Sales. Theme tune is brilliant. That's actually probably my number one.
Anyway, Big Mad Andy says Black Label all the way.
Alright.
Black Label were Grado, who were Black Label?
Black Label were Drew Galloway, Jack Jester, and I think maybe Andy, Red Lightning.
Kev Drysdale says Nation of Domination. Nexus would have been on this list, but WWE screwed that up. Titus Worldwide could have been impressive and could create.
Did you hear there was a rumor that Nexus were meant to be at this year's WrestleMania?
Really?
Aye, there was a rumor that there was a storyline wrote for Nexus to show up.
How would they have shown up? In what context?
I didn't even open it. It was maybe clickbaiting a lot of shite, but I did see that.
No, there was an interview. There was an interview with Stu Bennett saying that there was talks about doing something with the Nexus, but they wouldn't be able to get the whole band back together because there's no way Ryback's coming back, is there?
Aye, but I know. But you'd have Daniel Bryan, Justin Grable would go back.
Darren Young. Well, Heath Slater's just been released.
Aye. But then was he released before or after WrestleMania?
Oh, it was after, actually, aye.
Husky Harris.
Husky,
That was the new Nexus.
Oh, right, okay, fair enough.
Or was it?
Aye, that was the new Nexus. It was Kurt Hennig, what do you call him? Curtis Axel or whatever he was at that point. It was Husky Harris with CM Punk.
Stu Bennett would be an interesting guy to get on this show for a chat.
Aye, actually, I want me to message him tonight.
Aye, that would be good. Try and get him on, because it'd be good to talk, because I'm a big fan of NWA, so I would love to talk to him about that. But also, I think he was brilliant in WWE.
He's got a lot, hasn't he? He's got the look. He can talk.
Oh, he's a great talker. Great talker.
You're either Nexus or against us.
Let me tell you something else. He can work.
I tell you what.
He can work the hind legs off you. Can't say that, but many people can work. Right, so George Ward says evolution are the best always. John Montgomery says the four horsemen all day long, although the Dangerous Alliance were all able to go. Arn Anderson, Larry Zbysko, Steve Austin, Rick Rude, the main worker and probably most underrated worker of all time, Bobby Eaton, and they had Medusa as well.
Well, I was going to say the BWO, but then the fucking Blue Mania patched my DMs in it.
Aye. Scottish Siren says the Bullet Club for me. I feel that they had a good mixture of different kinds of talent within the group.
Well, we see the thing about the Bullet Club is, if there wasn't a Bullet Club, there probably wouldn't be AEW. There probably wouldn't be quite a lot of this obsession with wrestling. The amount of people that have Bullet Club t-shirts that don't even know that what it stands for, or they're not even wrestling fans. That actually did really transcend wrestling, didn't it?
They were very cool, weren't they?
Very cool.
Because obviously, like, I'd seen Finn Balor, right? I'd seen Fergo for years back, for SWA days, I knew Fergo, right? And seeing him come through, and I remember I kind of lost, because obviously he just went out to work the indies and he was going to all the world and stuff like that, and then I kind of lost track of him a wee bit, and then I saw that he was in Japan, and he was doing stuff in Japan and stuff, and then I became aware of Bullet Club and all that. Then you were seeing all the hangs, you know what I mean? We were like, guns, and they were cool, man. I was like, look how cool they look. And how cool Finn Balor looked, man. You know what I mean? Aye. The shape he was in, all right. They were cool as anything.
They were really cool.
Keith Richardson says DX for me. When Michaels, Triple H in China, they were the heels you always wanted to see get their comeuppance. I mean, after WrestleMania 14, Triple H cuts a great promo on HBK dropping the ball and brings in Sean Waltman. A WCW to WWE jump. I miss so much these days. And the New Age Outlaws joined them as well. Most people probably thought DX wouldn't be as good, but in my opinion, they went on to be an even better faction after that. Agreed. Becoming insanely over with the fans when they turned babyface. The feud with The Nation was one of the best ever and propelled a future long-running feud with Triple H and The Rock. Very true. Very true. Nation of Domination was very important to The Rock's history, to The Rock's legacy, wasn't it?
Is that the same even with Mark Henry, I know? Done a lot for Mark Henley. He's done a lot for what do you call him, D'Lo Brown?
Yeah. I love D'Lo Brown, by the way.
Mate, fucking Mark Henley's on that. He's on that Broken Skull podcast saying that D'Lo Brown was. Says he's a fat Dean Malenko, mate.
What a worker, by the way, D'Lo Brown was.
You're looking at the real deal now, what? Gonna kick a sorry ass out of the street. I think you own the street. Like, I'm gonna do about it.
D'Lo Brown. Stevie Kerr says the Wyatt family had a lot of potential, but best faction for me was the Ministry of Darkness. I love the Ministry of Darkness.
I
love the Ministry of Darkness. Midian and all that. Naked Midian.
That was your best Undertaker or something like that, no?
Yeah, I love the Ministry of Darkness era, aye. Undertaker. Aye. See, this is why these lists are so annoying, because you forget about things like that.
You do.
Our patron Paul says NWO. It's mad to think that WWE have no made more money off of NWO property than they paid for the WCW brand. And
that's crazy, man, when you think about that, actually.
Yep.
Andy, that's a good way of looking at it.
Andy says there's been some belters. For me though, the New Day. Three guys put together who were doing nothing and they turned it into some. Go to themselves, they'll just be being themselves and being entertaining as fuck in the ring and on the mic, one of the best. Absolutely.
I definitely remember the first week the New Day were on the telly, man. Everybody else thought it was horseshit. I read that in the UKFF, actually.
And they just turned it round. They just like, we are turning this round. Force
they made
that,
it their own,
though, they did it.
Made it their own.
To some great workers as well. Great workers. Listen, Big E is just one of the... Big E is just one of the best.
He's so entertaining, isn't he?
One of the best. So entertaining. So strong. So charismatic.
Definitely.
But there isn't a weak link in that whole stable. You know what I mean? They've all got their own. They've all got their own thing. Their own appeal.
No, there is only three, but aye.
Oh, you know what I mean? Echotone14 says the West Texas Rednecks need to get a shout. Kurt Hennig singing a country song about how shite rap music is. Can he beat that?
Rap is crap.
They were great fun. A great fun. Kind of like borderline kind of racist faction that would come out and just kind of didn't like black stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very, very weird, but they somehow, you know, they were heels, but they kind of, that singing was so good that they kind of almost got over in their own way. Debo says the oddities. just for being so shit, and the fact that Cartman was their mascot. I remember that. That's weird. Remember who was in the oddies again? It was
Kurgan.
Kurgan.
Who else? Was it no Hingley? Who was the guy in the gimp mask? Was it
John Tenta?
Aye, Earthquake. Aye. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That's so weird, man.
And then there was, of course, there was a what's her name? Luna. And the big guy, what was the big guy's name? Oh God, I'm trying to remember what his name was. Was it Caleb Valhalla? No.
No, was it no?
Was it Caden Garrick? Right, you can go Wrestling Daft right now. Here, hold on, before we do this, before we sell merch, I just want to ask you a quick question. See if you were to form a see if you were to get the wrestling comes back, right, and you had to form a faction with a few other guys.
Right, well, see, let me
that's no bothering, mate.
Right. Who would your stable be?
Number one, Crusher Crabe. I mean, you're not mate there. Let's not beat about the bush here, man. There's no way I'm not starting a stable with Crusher Crabe. He's the muscle. You know what I mean? I'd probably need to pick a master technician, so I'd probably go for the Tri-Counties champion. Al Sullen, and then probably one more. I'd probably go for Dino Del Monte.
You can go Wrestling Daft right now with your very own Wrestling Daft t-shirt, hoodie, phone cover, trucker cap, or one of your range of Gradle-inspired bum bags. Get them at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. On there you'll find designs such as Alexa, who is Graham Steveley, I'm a Mark, Crud, Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat, and I'm a Wrestler Tay. And you can even get a face mask to wear on the bus, so check out, and you should be wearing the masks, so check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft now, or check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at Wrestling Daft. So, this has nothing to do with the fact that our guest fell through this week, right? It's backed by popular demand. It's Ask Rab and Grado Anything, right? We get in touch with
punters. I'm sure there's only ever been Ask Grado Anything, is it not?
No, shush. Ask Rab and Grado Anything, right? So, we shouted it to the punters. So, let's see. Let's go first, right? Andrew got in touch, right? Here's the first question. Here we go. And Ask Rab and Grado Anything. Andrew said, who did Grado forget to book as today's guest?
Well, what's her name? Gail Kim. But she still contacted me on WhatsApp, and then I messaged the Blue Meanie this morning at 8 o'clock, so he would have read that when he woke up, which was about lunchtime. So, Blue Meanie and Gail Kim.
Scott is asking, on a scale of Jeff Hardy's TNA Immortal title to Lakeo's Split Women's title, how ugly is the 24/7 championship?
Very hackett.
Oh, it's the worst.
Isn't it?
I think it's the worst belt I've seen.
I mean, come on, I've got it. Why did they not just... I don't know. It's just... It's got nothing to... It just looks like an old... It's just nothing to do with the fact that it's green. I'm not saying because it's green, but it just looks like a green strat with a big 2p coin on it. You know what I mean?
Actually, it's not quite... It's not as bad as the Fiend's belt.
Can't even count that as a belt.
That's the worst one. That's the worst one. Goshie has got a question for both of us, right? If there is one wrestling promotion you could bring back, what would it be? Or what retired championship would you bring back? For me, Goshie would bring back the old ECW and the hardcore title, the 24/7 title was pish.
You want to go first?
I would bring back Hustle.
It's not a bit anymore, I don't know.
No, it's... I would bring back Hustle Japan. I would resurrect the Monster Army. I would be General Florence, and I would run my own Monster Army. I might actually try and get in touch with, I don't know who bought Hustle. I think it was maybe Pride. Right. I might try and put the feelers out. I'd get my agent. Imagine phoning up my agent. Like, Carly, can you do me a favour? Can you get in touch with Pride in Japan and see who has the rights to Hustle? Because I want to run the Monster Army. I might do it. I might actually
ask. Yeah, man.
I might do it.
Yeah.
What about you?
What is this question? If you could bring back any promotion?
A promotion or a title? Or...
I would bring back the NWA TNA.
Oh.
And I'd give Russo the pencil. And I would... I'd make sure that Nick Aldis was my champion and he would have the NWA title and it would be NWA TNA.
Beautiful. I like that idea.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you'd be wrestling, right? You'd be on the roster.
Next question.
Your pal Rab would be, he'd be there, wouldn't he? Help him. He'd be
a
manager. I'd be a Harvey Whippleman. No,
you could.
Fucking knew you wouldn't book me. I fucking knew, even if he had these, was running the new version of NWATNA, still wouldn't book me. Right, Paul Fivey has said, Rab, which Burniston character is Grado? Which Burniston character is Grado? I always thought Grado would make a really good job at playing Toshin, for McGregor and Toshin. He'd play a really good. Louise says, Grado, if you could appear in a soap opera, which one would you like to be in? Now, hold on here. I think Louise has made a fundamental error here. Or if you could pick, which character would you like to be, choose to be?
Do you know what? I'm just going to sidebar this, right? But it's funny because people always say to me, you know, why you only done 8 episodes of River City, right? Why I can't have only done 8 episodes of River City? It wasn't because I got sacked. That was one of the reasons. But the biggest reason is... I'd say the most bigger reason was Rab messaging me saying... Don't do too many episodes of River City or at a soap because. But you remember
he flung under a bus. Most people I know are in River City.
Aye, I know, but this is advice for me.
Aye, no, it's not right for you as a comedy performer.
You just say do not do as many episodes of River City. So that's the sidebar at the road.
Because if you start doing that, it's nothing against anybody that does soap operas, but it's like it's you get into that life of being a soap actor, I think, and you're making regular money and stuff like that. It's very difficult. You were on the ascent. You had to be out doing as much different stuff as possible. Know that I'm saying that people that do soap operas only on the ascent. I'm just saying it's a different thing. It's a good, solid, regular job, and that just wasn't the right thing for you at that time, I didn't think.
Aye. So if I could be any character, I'd probably want to do more episodes of Buster.
It's not even called River City. More episodes of Buster, he says. It's like he wants the name of the show changed to his character's name as well. That's why he gets sacked. Could you not just call it Buster?
Oh, where the fuck, actually? Wait there. Just hold on a wee second, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, River City asked me, what would you like to call yourself? Because they were like, we'd like to call you Grado, but we can't. I'm glad they never, to be honest with you, right? But they were like, can you give us a list of names? Very much like what happens to people when they get signed with the WWE, they get an offer of what your name would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found this the other day, 26th of September 2014, and I've got a list of names that I sent to River City.
Tell me.
You might hear them, there's about 20 here. Yeah. Right, Buster was the first one. I've obviously spent half part of that fucking day. I've even read the rest of it, right? Buster. Dusty, Steeler, Patch, Beef, Boris, Bruiser, Buddy, Stomper, Stump, Rascal, Tiger, Scrapper, Striker, Cassius, Nelson, Rocket, Kilo, Frosty, Starkey, Biter, Pug, and Hugo.
Hold on, yeah. Because a lot of them are quite similar, like Stomp and all that, and Buster and Thumper and all that, right?
It's like Bruiser, Brody.
Hugo? Cassius?
Aye. I think I just got Cassius for Cassius. Oh, no, Cassius Clay. Hugo maybe for Hugo Boss.
Paul says, if you could have any manager past or present manager, Grado, who would it be? Shout out to Rudo Sports and Entertainment Brand, by the way. Grado's heel run was underrated, says Paul. Who would you have managing you?
Who would I have managing me? That's a good question. It's probably going to be Jim Cornette. We would be absolutely opposites, but I'd love to be on the road with him and going for cheeseburgers together and going to buy new glasses for him and all that kind of care. I love that.
With him and his wife.
Next question.
Drew Higgins says, who's the one wrestler that you really disliked working with?
Well, actually, I would say that one of my favourite wrestlers to wrestle with is also one of my least favourites, because anytime I worked Eli Drake in TNA, I hated it, because what we'd do is we'd probably get whatever matches at 2 o'clock and say our matches wasn't tip at 9 at night. And he would go to the match where we were about 1:30. So that match would be in my head all fucking day, right? All day. Now, he's good enough to then turn to me fucking 5 minutes before we're about to go on air. After I've got this full match in my head, 7 hours, I've been out it umpteen times in the toilet, I've fucking phoned my bird and everything to say, do you think that sounds all right? for him to go when we're just about to go, scrap that. Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do this? And I'm standing buffing out going, yeah, fucking wanker, why would you do this to me right before we're about to go? And he done that 2 or 3 times, so I hated that, but it usually ended up no bad. Apart from one night, I wrestled him right in a one night only, and we go 18 minutes, and I says, look, you're going to need a paramedic there, because I'm going to have a cardiac arrest. I mean, I cannot do 18 minutes. There is no way. So he caught wind of this, and I knew he fucking tried to blow me up, and he did. He blew me up. He blew me up 3 minutes into the match. See if you watch that back. I am dying, and the ref's like, 11 to go, and I'm going, fuck off. Do you know I was still out of breath at 3:30 in the morning that night? I swear to God, Mark Andrews was like, are you all right, mate? I was going, I'm so poor. I actually never calmed down in the bus or whatever. I was going,
Jesus.
That's Mark Andrews all night.
Wow. That was a great answer. That's great. That's Cooney. Stephanie says, I've always wondered, Grado, which fictional character would be the most exciting to meet in real life?
Ask you go first. I don't fucking know. Homer Simpson, I don't know.
You'd like to meet Homer Simpson, or is that the only fictional character you could think of?
What else? What's another fictional character?
Jackie McQuillan.
See what I...
Sandy says, for Rab, a wrestler and a TV question. Who has been your most underrated wrestler in any era? Okay, my most underrated wrestler in any era. God, that's a tough one, man. Underrated wrestler. I'm sure this is something I've probably spoken about a lot. That's a very difficult one. Here's the thing. Here's the truth. I think actually the most underrated wrestler, and I think it's only now starting to turn around, is probably Dustin Rhodes. I think,
mate, what a shout, by the way.
Because I think people are starting to turn around now and go, this guy is one of the best to ever do it, right? But he was always great. He was always great.
So crisp, but
yep.
So crisp. Like, everything he does just was like, he's just amazing. He's just been doing it for that long, but you're right. And you could argue about Jericho freshening things up and all the time and that, but he's done the same himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And people have been slow, I think, to acknowledge just how good he is. You know what I mean?
I would say definitely, and he should be in the Hall of Fame and whatnot, but you're right. But he's somebody that's mega improved and all, because you look back in the matches in 91, 92, and you think, but no, he's just a man. It's cool. I love seeing all the wrestlers that were kind of in the attitude era, and when they come out on shows and they just bust their ass. See, when you see, like, I got a pure warm feeling in my belly and all that when I see, like, Billy Gunn on the AEW, and he's just leagues above everybody else. With his punches, with his strikes, just everything. Hey, Hank, he's a wrestler, man.
Tell you something, his look is still good as well.
Oh, he looks amazing. I remember we done a 6-man with Billy Gunn and Paisley, and we never fucking come up with everything, because there was like 10 folk in the match. It was like Team DX.
A 6-man, right, okay, I'll just make you clarifying there, a 6-man and Paisley, but it was a wrestling thing.
I've just said there was a 6-man, but it was 10 folk in it. I think it was a 10-man, right? It was like Team DX. Because I think X-Pac was meant to come out and all, but he pulled out. So it was just Billy Gunn and like me and my pals, and we called it Team, well, the promoter called it Team DX. But nothing was planned, because there was too many cooks stirring this pot and all that shit. And he just went in and just done everything on the fly, and I was like, wow, this guy's the man.
Bye, the real deal. The real deal. And Sandy also asked, for making several moments characters that are comedy gold, thanks very much. What is your process behind the creation? What's the inspiration for some of your more famous characters? Process behind the creation is...
Let me ask that again, because you're asking that too fast, and I don't think the fans are getting to know what they're asking you, and it's going to be quite a good question.
All right, okay, you ask
it. Let me ask you that question, right? Who asked it?
Sandy asked it.
Right, Sandy, this is for Rab. Right, for making several moments / characters that are comedy gold, what is
you
your
mean
process?
Slash characters? They weren't the slash characters, they were good.
Ah, sorry, it was your forward slash. What is your process behind the creation, and what's the inspiration for some of your more famous characters?
Process behind the creation, Sandy, is a write absolutely hunters of stuff and try and throw away all the shite so you're just left with the good stuff. And the inspiration for the characters is just, well, it used to be, the best thing a comedy writer can do, or if you're wanting to write comedy stuff, is just going out, cutting a book, going for a coffee, going to a pub, sitting about, taking a wee notepad with you, just watching people. I would just go about on my own and just kind of sit and watch people, and you get loads of wee bits of inspiration for everywhere.
No, guys, I'm trying to stir in your taste here, right? But it's like, when I used to write my promos and I'd say wee daft things, quite a lot of it would come for what I'd hear in the control room in the fire brigade. And people would just say wee things and I'd pick it up and try to put them into my promo. Is that kind of sort of what you've done as well?
What, not like stuff? No, it was me. No, nobody, I mean, unfortunately, sad truth is nobody else cutting about in Scotland has as good part as me, so I can't just really write down. I need to try and write down something and improve it, you know what I mean? Neil has asked, is gimmick wrestling dead? Has the business just moved on for the days of IRS and Repo Man? Are the Fiend and... How do you say to pronounce this, by the way? Because I pronounce it right, Abaddon.
Abaddon?
Who's that? It's Abaddon. You pronounce
it Abaddon. What's he in?
Abaddon's a woman.
Yeah.
All right. She's, you need to see her, by the way.
Was she in NXT?
No, she's in AEW.
Any good?
But you need to see her. You need to see her, like, her entrance and all that, and you need to see the way she's good, isn't she, John?
Oh, she's cracking, yeah.
She's like, you know, sometimes you get these wrestlers, Grado, that have a scary horror gimmick, and they always look kind of rotten. They don't look... You need to see her, because she looks... Mm-hmm. Scary. Just scary looking, right? But are these evidence that good gimmicks still exist, or evidence that there are new ideas? By the way, I was going to say the reason why I call it Abaddon is because it's like a Games Workshop thing. It's a Warhammer thing. That's a pronunciation for there. When I think a gimmick wrestler, I'm thinking like Big Boss Man. You're like, he's a police.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, the Mountie. He's a Mountie. Nails. He's a prisoner. Do you know what I mean? And I do like that kind of thing. I would love to see Mary in that. I would love to see, like, you know, go. I would love to be able to go. And this is why I'm saying about how I would love to promote a show like that, like Hustle, where you would go to a wrestling match and you would go, right, here's a guy coming out. And
a Johnny or something, like a school Johnny.
Or like, you know, like a fucking Abominable Snowman or something. Or not so much a Johnny. I was thinking, I was a wee bit mayor. Or like an astronaut. You know what I mean? This guy's an astronaut, comes out with the space helmet on, and
do you know, there's a guy in the US Indies that was in the Canadian Indies called Space Monkey, had a great gimmick. He basically had a monkey's head in a space suit, and he was called Space Monkey, and he was off a good.
Brilliant, that's what you want. So I think, I wouldn't say it's dead, but I think it's rare you see that now, and I would like to see Marriott.
It's because there's a lot of shite out there and all that, isn't there?
Derek is asking, should Vinnie Mac just head off into the sunset and let Triple H run the tune? Also, what's your favourite Still Game episode?
Right, you can clear up the Still Game episode, I'll clear up.
Well, my favourite Still Game episode is genuinely the last episode, because I think they tied it up beautifully. I love the ending. And I think the hardest thing with a sitcom is sticking the landing like that. And I think they did a brilliant job. That was a hell of a task to try and make that happen. I also love the one they go to the whiskey distillery as well.
Great, that one. Mine's is the one with Rabba Fleck Fairvins in it. I love the one. In fact, probably the bookies one. The bookies one. Stevie the bookie.
Okay. And finally, Andy Rabby or Rabble. Andy Rabble.
Do you want to answer about Vinnie Mac?
Oh, right.
Oh, Vinnie Mac. No, he shouldn't he? Of course he no.
No, because I'm not exposed to Vince McMahon. I mean, I hear a lot of folk that work for him and they all go, look, he's heavy, lost the plot. I mean, that's what everybody says to
you. They've been saying that for 20 years.
Exactly.
Been saying it for 20 years.
Exactly. And you know what? Sometimes it's weird because I always hear things, right? Or I watch stuff on the telly and I go, how the hell has Vince let this go on the telly? But then when I dig further, folk will say, but it was his idea.
How dare I? It happens loads of times that. Mm-hmm. How dare people say that this thing that Vince McMahon built, he should head off into the sunset and let anybody take control of it? How fucking dare they say that? This wrestling business is what it is because of Vince McMahon, for good or for worse. How dare people say, you should hang it up now and let somebody else have a go? It's fucking his thing. If he decided he was just going to shut it all down before he died, he'd get the right to do that and off. He decided he was just going to sell it and it isn't going to go into anybody's hands.
This is Vince McMahon
we're talking about here. We're not talking about a Russo, or we're not talking about a Bischoff. We're talking about Vince McMahon himself. How dare you even ask that question, Derek? However, for your boldness, maybe Derek should get listener of the week. for being bold enough to ask that question, because that takes bravery to ask a question about should Vince McMahon hang it up. What do you think, Gradle?
I don't know. I was going for the finger guy, the pallet guy.
Why? Just because his name's Pallet?
Ah, I just thought that'd be nice because that was in your show.
Aye, all right, then, fuck it.
Aye, fuck it, Pallet gets it.
Yeah, and Pallet gets it. Right, that's it for this week's show. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us on wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, we go twice a week now, so you can catch us on a Friday and you can catch the Marks podcast on a Tuesday. The three boys keeping you up to date with everything that's going on, far better fashion than me and Gradle Day. Also, remember to get on our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, to check out the video version. Why not buy yourself a t-shirt, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. And just to say to you, you know, any support is massively appreciated at this time. Obviously, me and Grado's industries have all but shut down at the minute.
We're fucking skint.
So Wrestling Daft is an important part of your week. So if you can support us, if you've been enjoying the show, if you can support us, that would really be appreciated.
It's like when folk go, what's your job? I just go, I do a podcast with our forms. That's my job, man.
That's it. That's our job now, mate.
That's all we've got, man.
So we're going to be doing the big push. We're going to try and get some big sponsors because we want to keep doing this. We don't want to shut this show down, folks. So please, if you can support, please keep the support coming. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks, Gradle. Nice to catch up with you.
Anyway, up the road.
Up the road now. It's yourself.
It's yourself.
Button pallets.
Audio Frontier.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.